Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Ken Allen, who is Senior Vice President of Operations for Secure. Ken, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
So we're going to talk about a really dynamic area of financial services, fintech, and payments, and that's the area of authentication, critically important. But we're really going to talk about it from the perspective of access to data, usage of data, and then actioning on that data in real time with respect to your perspective on it and what you're seeing and how you're seeing that space evolve. So let's start with a basic question, perhaps, but I think one that's important to have answered. So financial institutions are using data in very different ways. They're you know, all embracing the big data, and I'm using air quotes, concept in a very big way. How exactly are they using this data, specifically, tactically, to improve the dynamics with their customers?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's really hard to understand sometimes the depth of decisions that banks or financial institutions make. But really, in a nutshell, they're making better decisions because they have more data. That's one facet of it. But they're making the customer interactions better. So an easy example of that is when I used to use or look at my credit or debit card statements, I'd see gibberish in the merchant transaction descriptor line. Now a lot of institutions are giving you a logo of the institution and even the location, because they could figure that out through their big data efforts, in air quotes, to be able to give you something that you can digest as a consumer. So not only are they making the experience with the consumer better, they're actually enabling that type of data layer that they didn't used to have underneath and all the decisions behind the scenes that most consumers don't even see.
So is this an effort to improve the relationship with the consumer, or to have better data access internally to make the customer service or the customer products better, or both?
It really is both. I would say historically there's been a lot of difference between more of the marketing efforts to bring people into the door, and then you got to go through the pain of, you know, how to verify yourselves, prove you're really you, and then you can transact. Those data boundaries are starting to shift because the same type of data can actually be used from the time you're opening an account through making the transaction smoother and easier and not stopping you along the way. So it really is a customer experience benefit, yet with a tighter control on you're doing business with the right customer, because all financial institutions are risk-governed organizations. So they're doing a risk-governed decision.
Yep. So, you know, the idea of big data, you know, is sort of the term of art that we use to talk about just so much data that is now available to everyone. Financial institutions obviously are part of that. And, you know, a popular trend concept is this notion of machine learning, where data gets more... the more data gets more actionable because machines are given the intelligence to actually drive decisions without human intervention. Is that something that you're seeing banks take on board with a greater intensity? And if so, how, again, are they applying this technology to their everyday interactions with consumers?
They absolutely are. I think as the infrastructure of financial organizations change, there's a couple of different key components when you start using machine learning versus more relational databases, what it used to be. So you used to have coders and database developers dictate what the connections were between data sources or data that you're aggregating. With machine learning, you can actually infer and actually allow it to determine some of those relations and pockets of connections, even if you haven't defined it. So it's much easier to put in new data and see, hey, is there new connections? Versus more the traditional way of, hey, here's my hypothesis, this data could add value, can we connect it relationally and see if there's value? So it's a fundamental shift, which is actually coming with pain points. It's not the same old modeling and stats. It actually is more data science. It's a combination of almost programming and stats, but you got to go find the pockets of data and then figure out why, and does it add value for you to focus on those pockets. The one given in machine learning is you're going to see a bunch of new stuff you didn't really think about before. Making sense of it requires a change to some of these organizations to try to get the value extracted from big data, and that tends to be a problem that I've heard some organizations are continuing to go through.
You know, it's interesting. It reminds me of of the retailer conundrum today, which is pockets of data by channel. There's data from the physical store footprint, there's data from the online footprint, and lots of times those data silos are very much siloed. Is that a similar environment within the banking infrastructure as well?
Yeah, absolutely. By product lines, by the point of sale or the consumer experience, you've seen the phrase, again, probably in air quotes, omni-channel. Connecting that data doesn't mean the decisions are being made holistically. There are still, credit card issuing versus bank versus commercial, different distinct businesses that have different risk governance around each one. So not everything is blending together, but the true consumer experience, the you and me experience, is crossing boundaries. And you should connect me across my in-person versus my digital versus maybe something I'm doing through the business I'm affiliated with. If you could do that, it becomes easier to feel comfortable that the KYC, the Know Your Customer verification, you don't have to repeat it over and over and over. And so it is becoming available, but the risk-governed organizations hasn't allowed those silos to completely break down, and I don't know that regulators will either. But it definitely is tending in that direction that you can do more with the data available passively, not requiring a person to actively do as much as they used to if you connect it in the right way.
So connecting it in the right way implies that there's a lot that has to happen under the hood to make that possible. And I take your point, that there are regulatory constraints to consider. But what about infrastructure? Lots of talk today about upgrading banking infrastructure on all dimensions. What about when it comes to this whole area of just managing and streamlining access to data?
Absolutely. And this is, I would say, something that's been in process in some of the leading organizations for a little while. It is not cheap. So most financial institutions historically have had their own data center of sorts. That is starting to now go to where it's acceptable to have cloud, right? It's just easier to scale. It's easier to connect disparate across boundary regions. Along with that, it's much easier to ingest new APIs, RESTful APIs, that allow you to plug in new data sources and see the value much faster than it used to be having some of the secure tunnel. So a big effort is in the InfoSec side to be able to get the infrastructure or the environment ready to be able to be more usable downstream. That takes a while. It usually gets proven out through some effort or some line of business, but then it definitely heads down that path. Cloud is becoming more of the norm. It still is not the absolute norm, but it is definitely hurdles that financial institutions and regulators and especially bank executives worry about, the breach risks and the data risks that come with something that sits in the cloud versus in their own environment.
Is that a real fear, or is that just a, it sounds like it's not as safe fear?
Every entry point into a data set is a risk. I think you got to come down to how comfortable the diligence and process you're going through. I know in some of my prior roles, I always worried about sharing too much information outside of our own walls. Well, when you come into more of the big data in quotes environment, it is more of a consortium type model. You're not just learning on your own, you're learning with others for the benefit of your own. But it is something that is a change, and culturally it's hard, I think, for a lot of lifelong financial institution people. And I've been, I would say, a good chunk of my career in that type of a space. So it is a learning, you have to get comfortable with it. But it is a continued fear for the simple reason you hear about breaches every day and you don't want to be party to any of those.
Sure. It also strikes me that it requires a different set of skills that the environment needs to have, or the institution needs to have, in order to really make the best use of the technology and whatever infrastructure changes are happening. Is that what you're also encountering?
Absolutely, and it's actually through the ranks. I would say leaders that are more digitally comfortable don't have as much predefined hypothesis. They just know, hey, it can be better. Let's figure out a way to do it. Some of the individuals that are deep into the infrastructure and the data science side of it are changing some of what they're doing. Not only are systems doing more of it for you, so you don't have to have a human bias, which is always a risk in any business, so you can take some of the human bias out of it. But it actually is enabling individuals to think more out of the box and say, hey, I'm trying to solve a problem. I can solve it creatively because I have more at my fingertips to do. That is a different mindset and sometimes requires people changes because some individuals just can't get there or they're not comfortable there. So it absolutely is a change from the top down.
So I want to close by picking up on something you said a few minutes ago, and you kind of threw out this, and the data needs to be consistent across all of the channels or divisions within an organization, because you don't want to have to authenticate the consumer each and every time they come into the organization, regardless of the channel or the product line that they're using to access the bank. So this is, of course, your area of expertise as Secure, and I'm curious to get your sense about the kinds of things that, the kinds of conversations you're having with FIs on that particular topic. How are they talking to you about it? What are their concerns, and what are you saying back to them?
Yeah, I think one of the main concerns is customer conversion. Any process you have to stop to do some form of verification, it's problematic. You lose good guys and you catch some of the bad. So the, what I call active verification, just has its challenges. It's run its course, it doesn't do as well as it used to. So with some of the stuff we just talked about, passive verification becomes more capable because you have better data underneath. So you can connect to the real person that you're trying to verify you are doing business with, and therefore enable more transactions to occur regardless of the channel. What it really does, technology is making it easier to do a transaction. I think we've all experienced that. But the data environment, the ability to enhance the data that you've been using historically, is enabling you to actually prove better the real people that you want to continue in that flow and continue to make the process seamless. It's focusing more towards enabling good guys to get through, almost more than it is catching the bad guys, because you want that revenue side of things that will allow you to take some acceptable risks. That is what Secure is focused on. It really is helping to define the behavior of individuals that is a prediction of good and bad, and that you're doing business with the right person. That is a key focus, customer conversion, whether you're doing digitally or retail. You want to try to allow customers to do what you want them to do, while also with the right risk tolerance. And that means opening bank accounts for people that don't have credit. That's a real challenge today, but this type of environment and Secure solutions enable you to open the door like you might not have ever opened it before.
Do banks trust that it can work? I mean, there are so many things that I would think banks are very, very worried about today. And just opening the kimono to something that looks like it could potentially be more risky might be a tougher sell. How do they take that?
Yeah, I will allude to, I am a traditional fraud guy, right? At the end of the day, there is no one solution that is the answer. You have to have the right pieces put together that solve your challenges. But individual institutions and banks always know there's never going to be a very black and white decision on every transaction. It's a shade of gray. You have to figure out how you can make the best decision with the information you have. The more information, the better, but sometimes it can be overload. So most institutions that Secure works with and we talk to, it really is, hey, we get the logic and value, prove it out. So you do a test of sorts to go in and say, hey, could have it made a better decision than we could have? And does it complement our current solutions? That's usually the play that goes in and say, I can actually trust it. I see empirically that I can trust it. And then secondarily, I can actually prove it out with a integration into one product line before I roll it to the entire enterprise. And that's a scheme that I think you're starting to see more based on this new mode of thinking.
Interesting. Well, it's a fascinating topic and one that we're going to talk a lot more about next Tuesday at 1 Eastern, June the 7th. So I would encourage everyone to listen in. We're going to talk about the evolution of authentication, and we're going to dig into some of the topics that we talked about in a little more depth and offer some interesting insights and use cases as banks think about the data available to them, how to use it in different ways, and how to use it to create more inclusion for those that perhaps may have been perceived to be too risky or not appropriate in the past. But Ken, it's been a great conversation, and I look forward to talking more next week. Thank you.
As you're right. Thanks, Karen.